You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Seven 7:39 on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you. The All Marine Radio head chef joins me. P. Kimball Holmes. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marines. Rock and roll, hoochie coo, baby.
we need to talk some food in a hurry, man. The rest of this stuff is killing me.
Me too. Well, Beth made meatloaf yesterday.
Meatloaf.
It was just to die for. And she used, a baguette ground up, and not in coarse pieces. She soaks it in milk. And then, we've been buying this beef from Costco's, and I'm sure most people have a Costco's near them,
mm-hmm,
or within driving distance, and we have to go to Fargo to get it, but it's worth it because it's 100% organic beef, no crap in it, in the meat, and Beth has allergies like nobody's business, so she has to be careful what's in what she eats, and so we use just straight ground beef, but she took a small can, 5 ounce tomato paste, a couple of garlic cloves grated, half a lemon juice, half a cup of parsley and basil minced together. Tablespoon of parsley and basil.
You're screwing this recipe up so bad. It's ridiculous. Like, what is wrong? What is wrong with you, man?
I'm just so excited to talk to you this week. I can hardly contain myself.
You busted straight into a recipe. Not even any pleasantries. How you doing? How's your week been?
You said talk. Let's talk food.
I'm
busted right into a recipe, brother.
All right, so you were going to rescue us. I like. Okay, I got it. But let's catch up. Let's catch up for a few minutes. Okay. So first of all, how are you?
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Mac, my week has been great. Went down to Walker, Minnesota, to Leech Lake, hung out with Bob and his new girlfriend from California, Huntington Beach. We talked about her.
Yeah.
And had a nice evening with them. Beth is calling our condo, getting rid of this dust collectors, and Bob loved what she was sending down to him. So I drove that down and we hung out, had a nice dinner, and then came back yesterday morning, and I've had a good week, actually. Physical therapy's going well, so I've been doing well, thank you.
All right.
How about yourself?
Let's see. Earlier this week, I got the pieces assembled to watch old videos of our kids.
Oh, great. Oh, God, watch. That's got to be a hoot.
Oh, it's hilarious. I don't know when the last time I'd seen these things. And Colleen had never seen them. And she sits there with her jaw hanging open, seeing her seeing her big brothers and sister when they were little kids. And and it's that's been the high point. That's been fun this week. And then the Yankees have been playing better.
Oh, I was just gonna say they're half game out.
Yeah, the Red Sox aren't very good. They don't hit like they have in the past. And so I think that if the Yankees play above average, they will overtake the Red Sox. And
thought that all year.
They won last night a game they shouldn't have won, but you know, everybody shifts players now all over the place, right? So yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and honestly, I saw this back in the 70s. There was a coach in San Diego that would chart every ball hit by a hitter. And he would chart the pitcher, and then he would where the ball went, and he did it all on paper. He'd sit there with a binder in this big fat binder, and he'd have and so you would see this kind of spray chart, and you would wonder, well, why don't they shift there more? You know, why don't they? But if, you know. And maybe that in that era you took two steps to the left or a step to the right or something like that. Now there's three guys on the left side of the infield. Well, last night the Yankees they have a runner at third, two out, bottom of the ninth. They're down a run, and there's three guys on the left side of the infield. So there's a guy where the third baseman is, a guy between third base and shortstop, and then another guy to between. The shorts,
a little bit right, yeah. Second base, yeah.
Right, a guy hits the Gary Sanchez hits a ground ball right at where the shortstop would be, and they look at each other. They look at each other, and it goes into left field, and it is just a nothing ground ball. Yankees tie the game, and then somebody Yankees hit a home run in the 10th inning. I have a friend, he's Italian.
Wow.
His name's Christopher Bronzi. And Chris Bronzi is a no-shit American war hero. He's a badass. And a great guy. He and I have served together twice, once in Ramadi and again in Afghanistan. And he's a Yankee fan. So after the Yankees won, I told him. So what's happened is there's been a few times when I've called him in dramatic parts of the game, and every time he and I speak, something happens and the Yankees win. So, you know how it with sports, you can affect the cosmic order and help them win on occasion. Now, I don't exactly understand it all, but I know it happens. Okay? I can't explain it. I know it happens. So, last night...
Matt, I'm buying what you're selling.
Right? I mean, it happens. And so, you know, sometimes it's a certain chair you sit in. Well, with me, it's Bronzi is like the good luck charm when we interact, when we talk. But last night I'm watching the game, and I want to say it was 8:30 Pacific time. And so it's, it's 11:30 on the East Coast. He has to get up and work. You know, he's still in the Marine Corps and all that. And so I'm not going to call him. I thought, we need a little magic here. And so I have a plaque. So we're in between the top of the 10th and the bottom of the 10th, okay? I go out into my garage. There's a plaque with his name on it. It's all the officers that were together in Afghanistan in 2010-11. There's a plaque with his name. So I walk out, and I touched his name with my right index finger. Christopher Bronson. So I go back in, first hitter, boom, out of the park. Yankees win.
Oh, God. Now, the key to this, Mac, is you don't abuse that privilege.
No, I don't. I don't. I only go to it when it's necessary.
Only in the purest moments of Yankee
need help. Right. You can't wear it out. And so so then I thought I'd send him an amusing text. So when he woke up in the morning, I said, Bronze, just so you know. And I tell him what I did. He texts right back. He said, hey, Amy and the kids are up in Long Island. I'm moving and I watched the whole game, and you would have been proud of me, Mac. I stayed optimistic throughout the whole thing. Cause I used to get on him like, he goes for we're never gonna make it, we're doomed. And I said, that's out of character for you. He said, I know, totally, but I did. I was positive throughout the whole thing. And he said, you know, I think you might be onto something. And I sent him a picture of the plaque. I said, all I did, touched your name. I went through a run with the Fighting Sioux men's hockey team where if I would get up and take a leak, they would score a goal.
Yeah.
It was the Lee Gorin. It was the year Lee Gorin scored on that changeup that he shot from the right board. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
He whiffed on the goalie. Whiffed on it. Thought it was coming. Changeup. Woo, five hole. I don't think that thing even hit the back of the net.
It was pretty fast. It happened just bam. It was over.
I have come to affect the cosmic order of baseball. The Yankees are a half game out of first place. I have friends that are Red Sox fans. I can't hardly wait to put it to those bitches. They're going to pay.
Now, wait till the Yankees move into first place and then put it to them.
Oh, are you kidding?
And
no.
Then you keep your foot on their neck.
No, let me tell you.
Don't get up until we have a Yankees-Dodger World Series.
No, I've been predicting it the last, like, 4 days. Hey, Jack. Hey,
it's going to happen, baby. Going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, Jackasses, you can feel it, can't you? Who's in first place?
I grudgingly sit in the first place at this time of year for the last 3 years. And I'm going, well, when are they going to trip on their own, you know what?
Yeah, they are, because Kershaw can't pitch anymore. It's over.
No, it's not.
It is.
They're gonna do it. They're going to do it. I'm telling you, they are. They're 12 games out, and it's going to be a Yankee-Dodger World Series.
It's going to be a Houston, maybe Washington World Series. Washington hit – no, Kim – you know it, too. This is called Whistling Past the Graveyard for everybody out there.
I'm not buying what you're doing.
Kershaw.
You're going to mess with your Yankee mojo.
Kershaw.
You stick with your team. I'm sticking with mine.
Kershaw.
Kershaw. Yeah. That's all right.
And
what did he do against the Cubs last year?
Kershaw.
And there's a reason he's out.
They're done.
It's the reason, baby.
Wave it goodbye, man.
You're lining up. Get ready for it.
Wave it goodbye, bro. And everybody. And here's the thing. The Dodgers have been on this incredible run, right?
Yeah.
But inside the Dodger, house of cards, they're all very nervous. Like, but it's the playoffs, okay? We do this, but it's the playoffs. And then Kershaw hurts his back. And that collective sucking noise you heard, that was the entire Dodger Nation going, oh, here it goes again. So, I'm not saying.
He's going to go down to Chinatown in L.A. Mr. Wu, the acupuncturist, and Dr. Wu is going to get him back on the mound. So worry about your Yankees. I'll worry about my Dodgers, and we'll see you in the World Series.
If we just try harder and we'll get him some good therapy and some acupuncture, and we all come together, we can do this. Yeah, Mickey, that's not how that shit happens, okay? Just so you know.
You work your mojo, and I'll work mine.
We can do it! It doesn't matter if he hurt his back and he chokes in the playoffs. We can do it! Yeah, probably. Probably not. up, bro.
Keep your heart out.
Probably not. All right. Here's an email. Here's an email. Mac, the Yankees have been horrible for the last month, but they are coming out of it. It'll be interesting. They are a pretty fun team to watch with the young guys they have coming up. No, they're really fun to watch. And so young guys but they have sucked. They were the worst team in baseball after being one of the best. They went 10-20 over a 30-game period. So we'll see. We'll see. Their big guy lost a tooth last night in the home plate celebration. Jumping around, helmet flies up, hits him in the mouth, tooth goes flying. Right? Now, the game was over, so we don't know.
All on their knees looking for his tooth.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, ESPN showed like security people out looking for his tooth. It's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's moments like that, you know, where you love baseball. I've always loved baseball, but you know, I like going to Crosley Field in my Dodger hat. My dad's got his Red Legs hat on.
Well, what a jackass.
Yeah, hey, baby. You couldn't break my Dodgers.
Yeah, come on, man. You're supposed to be a Reds kid going to the game. Your dad, like.
No, the
your
hell dad, I was.
Yeah, because you're just.
My mother wouldn't have let me in the house.
Well,
I was a Reds fan.
Well, if I was your dad, I wouldn't let you in the car. Sorry. Go. Hey.
Oh, he loved it. He loved it. Loved the banter, and, he loved all that stuff. He was cool. He was cool. He had his team, and Mom and I had ours, so.
Were you a mama's boy? Were you a mama's boy?
No.
Are you sure?
Not even.
You sound like a
mom. I'm 100% sure because
you sound
after
like
my dad
mama
died and my mom remarried and she stepped back and let him butchify me and be a dad, and she did not interfere with his disciplines, with the way he treated me, the way he made me, that story I told you about getting my school clothes. And so he says, yeah, as soon as I get done lunch, we'll go get school clothes. And I said, geez, it's only 3 weeks into the summer. And I was playing Babe Ruth, and he was the coach. And I was just hanging out at the swim club and with my pals. And so I get in the car, pulls into the concrete block yard. Says, hey, how long are you going to be, Dad? He goes, well, we're leaving here about 6:30 or 6 o'clock. You see that wheelbarrow? I said, we're going to get school clothes. What's wrong? He said, see that wheelbarrow? Shovel and broom, start cleaning the yard. 75 cents an hour. I get out of the car. And that's how it went. He was great. He was a dad. I mean, he was
you could have been a big time mama's boy.
I know. He saved me.
He saved you from being a mama's boy?
Yeah, he sure in the hell did. And my mom wasn't an easy broad.
All right.
She'd get under anybody's chin.
Here's another email for you. Hey Mac, I'm curious. Kim's not part of your Butch tribe. What does he think about the whole transgender thing? So, Kim, what do you think? The president tweeted this ban on transgenders in the military. Think of all that.
Well, I listened to you this morning about it, and you listen to the Constitution and right of, so, that's a soldier thing to deal with, and I thought they've handled it really well. And somebody like Mr. Trump tweeting stuff to divert the attention away from his being investigated and stuff.
Ooh.
And
him. You think that's what's behind? You think that's what's behind it all? That's how he's working it.
Sure, it is. Right. Come on.
All right. But hold on. I don't want to talk about him. What about the issue itself? I mean, if you don't know who you are, that's a problem for us, because, as I've said, I mean, a lot of people who have issues that wind up, you know, post-combat, you know, taking their own lives, those issues weren't the actual fighting they saw. That added to the problem. But their issues started well before that, which is the reason that we don't take people that suffer from depression and a whole variety of other things. So let me just, if you didn't hear me, I don't think you should be allowed to change sexes while you're on active duty, because that's a long process, and that's not what the American taxpayers paid you for. You signed a contract to be a replaceable widget in a machine. And if you can't be a widget for like 5 to 10 years, then sorry, it's just like if you had some other malady that shelves you for 5 to 10 years, we can't use you. Thank you. Goodbye. And we do that all the time to people when they blow out knees, you know, that aren't repairable, and a whole host of things. I guess my question though is, so, if we don't currently do, you reveal depression in a health screening questionnaire. If you're transgender and you're post-op, and then hypothetically, if you're a full-up brown person, you don't suffer from depression, you're good. Should the United States keep you from serving in the military?
If you join the service as a transgender,
yes,
and you're straight about it,
and you don't suffer from depression, and that opens
up a whole set of questions.
And you don't suffer from depression or any other disqualifying thing.
You can say I'm transgender when you enlist, and then the service has a right to give you a whole different evaluation. And if they feel that you're not equipped to handle the service, then sorry, but thank you for being straight with us, and we can't use you.
We don't screen mental health stuff. I mean, it's asked in a physical question.
That's why I'm saying, Mac, I agree with you 100%. If you try and become a transgender when you're in the service, that's not good. Before, and you tell the people that you're enlisting with that you're transgender, and then you have to answer a whole different set of, you know, evaluations. So, and that's just the way it is. It probably should be anyway. But you said it this morning. When you're out in the field, and you're relying on the buddy next to you, the person next to you, you know, you better be able to count on them.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I don't know why this popped into my head. One night, I'm in Fallujah, and I don't know, we're doing what we do every night, which at that point was we would be running all these soft raids at night, and my responsibility was to coordinate them, right? All these different, you know, special groups coming in, trying to kill people, things like that. So in the middle of it, I get a phone call. Bring, RCT-5 Combat Operations Center, Major McNamara speaking. Hey, Mac, this is Lieutenant Colonel Holmes from Camp Pendleton, 1MEF. Hey, sir, what's up? Do you have a Sergeant Skull in there? Yeah, he's sitting about 20 feet from me. He said he just told his fiancée he was going to kill himself in the next hour. I said, what? He said, yeah, you know, he just got back from a deployment, and he wasn't supposed to go with you guys, but they had some personnel issues, so he got tagged to go. He left. He got engaged. A buddy of his, after you guys were gone for about a month, evidently saw his fiancée at a club with a friend of his, he told him, hey, man, your girl's out with so-and-so, and it kind of dissolved from there. He finds out about it. Now he's going to kill himself. So I turn and I tell Staff Sergeant Sanchez, who's about 6'1 and about 250 and not so fat, and Staff Sergeant Sanchez looks at me and goes, oh, fuck no, sir. That's too much paperwork, man. Nobody's killing themselves while I'm here. And he says, hey, hey, Sergeant Scullin, come here. And he looks at him like, what? And then he tells this other Lance Corporal, he goes, hey, when I take him outside, you go grab his rifle. And so he just took him outside and he said, you going to kill yourself? You know, and then he got the deer in the headlights look. Well, no. Your girl says you're going to kill yourself, that you sent her an email. And so you have these damaged people, you know, just by virtue of the stress of the job that yeah. came in, and they were full up round when they came in. It's not easy. And so when you have people that are damaged or aren't full up round, and then you load that kind of stress on them, you don't. And then what happens is you lose that guy. And so it impacts a whole series of other people. So this stuff isn't bullshit. You need widgets, man. They got to be replaceable. I was even saying yesterday, just pregnancy is a big deal, right? You get home from Africa. Yeah. You've been driving trucks in Africa for 6 months. And you get home, and you have a wife, and you have kids. And all of a sudden, somebody who's supposed to go up to 29 Palms for 2 months and drive trucks, she gets pregnant. She can't go. Guess who's going, Holmes? You are. Pack your shit. You're going. What do you mean? I just got back. I'm sorry, but we need a driver, and you're an extra one. And it's between you and him. We flipped a coin, and your name came up. So pack your shit. You got to go. So, I mean, pregnancy is hard. And you don't need people that can't stand the stress to be there. And so I was surprised to learn that we don't do psychological testing. I thought we did some form of it. I thought I went through something, but evidently I didn't. So just kind of interesting. So I wanted to be the email because you're not from the same Butch tribe. You're kind of from you kind of live in two worlds, and so wanted to get your opinion. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little food. I do want to talk about meatloaf, by the way, because meatloaf is a much ridiculed dish, right? She fed me meatloaf. Ooh. But
are you kidding me? I love it. The versatility of meatloaf after the first meal.
There you go. Hey, there you have it.
We'll talk about that, too.
We're talking versatility. Meatloaf coming up next on a Friday edition.
101, baby.
Oh, come on, man. Just look anywhere. It is in the New York. It's by Ryan Lizza, Lizza. If you Google that, you'll find him. You'll find the story. it's unbelievable. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's machined and anodized, a door stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for field. Perfect farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is available entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level, how do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit so that somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, military.
Home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and...
Injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7.
To All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. This is the Eagles. Are you an Eagles fan?
I love the Eagles.
Yeah, they're good stuff.
Yeah, they're excellent stuff.
Did you see the five home runs the Nationals hit the other day? How about that?
No, I didn't.
What's always fun in professional sports is to see things that the athletes go crazy.
Yeah.
And
five home runs.
Wow. Yeah, three in a row, then four, then five. And they're just like, you got to be kidding me. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. They've got a team this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. This is when Bryce Harper goes crazy, right? He snapped the other night on the second time he got called on a pitch, and he lost it. He got thrown out of the game. And did you see the is chasing 3,000 hits. He's like 2,900 and, you know, whatever. So
yeah,
he's in the on deck circle, and you know they have this rubber painted with the emblem of the team that they throw out there, and they throw like the rosin bag, the weighted bat, and all that stuff. Deck circle. So he's not.
Yeah.
So the first hitter's getting ready to hit. He's not in the on deck circle, which most guys don't tend to be. And the third base umpire says, "Hey, get in the on deck circle." Right, and now this thing's a piece of rubber that they move all the time. You know, it's not like it has to be a surveyed spot on the diamond. So he walks over, he grabs it, and he pulls it to where he was standing, and then he stands on it.
Yeah,
this guy's hitting third. He gets thrown out of the game before the game starts.
Stop it!
I swear to God.
Jeez.
My dad used to go hysterical over stuff like that, because the umpire wanting to inject himself into being part of the game. Hey man, nobody's coming.
Yeah.
Nobody came here to see you. What are you doing?
No, not if.
What are you doing? Yeah, if you got a problem, go over and fix it. To throw him out of the game before it starts, you know, is stupid. So anyway, Bob Nielsen, who's on the program all the time, was at the game. Yes, was there with Jeremy, I believe. With Jeremy, Army Sergeant Major, triple amputee. We went crazy. Best day of baseball ever. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, no, anyway. No, you know, one of the great parts, before we talk meatloaf, one of the great parts of the year is coming up, and that's in the fall when you have baseballs, pennant races going on in September, football starts, and then you get into October, hockey starts, and you have baseball postseason. It's pretty, if you're a sports fan.
It's a great time of the year.
Great time of the year. So,
yeah, very much so. And boy, when the playoffs start in baseball and football's what, a couple weeks into the season, maybe a month at the most. But yeah, it's great.
It's great. All right, let's talk meatloaf. A lot of people talk meatloaf. They think of like their aunt who couldn't cook very good, and she throws the ground beef into a little rectangular dish and throws some onions in there, and then bakes that thing to hockey puck status, and then serves it to you, and it says, here you go, boys.
And you're choking. You're drinking a gallon of water.
Yeah,
milk.
Meatloaf. But you're not talking about that version of meatloaf, yes?
Yeah, 100% yes.
All right, what are you talking about?
Now, well, first of all, you don't just throw it into a rectangular pan and then bake it. You've got to get a big bowl, ceramic or stainless steel,
but not plastic. Can you explain why you don't use plastic, please?
Well, because the food has a tendency to taint the plastic, to get in. It's porous. Plastic is porous. Even though it's smooth inside, it holds smells. And it's okay to put potato salad or something like that, but if you have garlic and onions and you're mixing something with, you know, like that, it sometimes, if it sits too long, it retains the flavor of what was in it. So with stainless steel or ceramic, you just wipe them out. You know, wash them real hard and wipe it out and let it dry, and then you're in the front row again. And then you can see it.
Okay. Bottom line is it's porous and you don't want to use it. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, and it retains flavors of whatever you're mixing in it.
Okay,
so
all right. So go ahead. What are we doing with meatloaf?
Well, first of all, some people put soda crackers in their meatloaf,
right,
and you have to have that filler as a binder. But my wife and I've always liked bread. And now that they have, you know, French bread and stuff with a crust on it, and you tear it in pieces, you sit it in that whatever bowl you're going to mix it in overnight. You let them get a little dried out and stale. And then you put them in a food processor or something with a blade on it, and you just crumble the bread, and you don't have to. Some people don't. They tear small pieces, but we like a little finer chop, but still has texture to the crumbs. And then we mix whole milk or whatever you want to do, but we like whole milk with the breadcrumbs, and you let them soak for a little bit and suck up the milk, you don't cover the whole top of the thing, but you put enough in to, so it gets moist. Then you throw that with you throw the ground beef in, you mix it up. Some people like to put onions, like me.
Yeah.
What
kind of onions?
You can do red or yellow, whatever you want. What is your favorite onion? That's what you use.
I like red. I like red because of the way it looks.
Yes, and it has a different flavor.
Does it?
A little mild flavor than sometimes a yellow onion or
What's the difference between yellow onion and a white onion?
Also, the strength of the flavor.
Okay, what's the most oniony of the onion perspective? Spectrum onion.
Probably I would say maybe, the rawest flavor would be the white onion. The yellow onions that's pretty much the onion for onion rings, sliced thin raw on hamburgers. And it was just a little sidebar. If you're going to put raw onion on a hamburger, do not cut onions thin. Otherwise, just have an onion sandwich. It dominates the hamburger. No go. Anyway, you're mixing your meatloaf up. You add, one egg to a ground beef, and you break that, and you mix that up. That is what binds the meatloaf together.
Okay.
And then you put it in a greased 4x9 or 5x9-inch loaf pan. And if it's a bigger meatloaf, you can even put it in a pan that is like 9x12. You're not going to fill it all with meatloaf, but if you do a couple of 3-pound meatloaf, that's what you want to do. And then you take whatever your favorite top mixture is, and most people have grown up having ketchup baked on the top of the meatloaf when you put it in the oven, and it gets a little kind of firms up.
Right.
It's not runny,
right,
but it kind of bakes a little bit. But what my wife does is she takes a mixture, a small 5-ounce can of tomato paste, and she takes 2 garlic cloves, and we're using, 3 pounds of hamburger for our meatloaf here. And, so that would be, 3 eggs. But she'd take the garlic cloves and she'd grate them. You know what a grater is? That's a long, thin blade.
Stop it. Okay. Don't do that.
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
You could chop or whatever. 2 cloves of garlic, half a juice of a lemon, and then parsley, tablespoon of each of parsley and basil,
right,
minced, chopped fine. And you mix all that together, and then you spread that on top of your meatloaf, and then bake it at 325 degrees, depending on your thermostat. You want it about 160 to 180 in the center. You want to cook the meat through. You don't want rare meat. You stick your thermostat in, thermometer in, and it says, oh, it's 200 degrees, you're going to have a pretty tough piece. But with the bread soaked in there, it keeps it also moist. And that's it. And then you bake it, and you don't have to let it rest when it comes out.
I love that.
You slice it and eat it. And we had it last night with wild rice. Have you tried that yet?
Wild rice? No. For people who've never seen actual wild rice, how do you cook it? Do you cook it any different?
Well, it depends. Whether it's black and been kind of roasted, it takes about 50 minutes to cook.
50
but
or
the
50?
Rice I sent you
five,
is...
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's rice where they go... Native Americans go in the lakes and canoes, and they take, they have a stick, they're paddling in there, usually two people, and one person paddles and the other person, takes the, rice, and, they look like tules growing out of the lake, and then they put it over the canoe and they hit this, and the rice falls in the canoe, and it's like, 3/4 to an inch long, kind of brownish green, and that's the real Native American wild rice. The other stuff is
okay. Lame. All right. So how do I prepare it?
Well, your wild rice, you rinse it and soak it 3 times at least, and that means you get a ceramic or stainless bowl. You put it in the rice in there, whatever you're going to use, and then you hit it with a little it's cold water, and then you rinse it, and then you fill it up again and let it soak for another 20 minutes, and you rinse it, and you do this 3-4 times, and that's because that is right from the canoe bottom to the bag, and it needs to have the dirt rinsed off it or the dust and stuff. And so you get down to having clean rice. It's not like Uncle Ben's converted rice where you just open the box and pour in. But the good point of this, it takes about 20 minutes to cook with the lid on. You know, you get your water, you boil it about 20 minutes, and then you after about 5 minutes, you turn it down, you simmer it for the next 15, and then you turn it off after 20 minutes or 25 minutes, and you do not take the lid off because the steam inside, it will continue cooking, and it'll puff up, and then you open it up, and you've got fabulous, tender, beautiful rice, wild rice. And I don't know if anybody's ever had wild rice, chicken wild rice soup. That's a treat, too. That's back here in North Dakota and especially Minnesota, that's probably the state soup. It certainly is in Minnesota. But anyway, we had wild rice, but with meatloaf. You can do mashed potatoes. You do whatever you want. Baked potato, in your case.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a baked potato. What about so what do you put over the meatloaf? And again, meatloaf doesn't have to be baked to hockey puck, you know, hardening.
No. 160 means it's done. 150 to 160 is done. And then you, and I love the end pieces myself because it's got the most crust on it. And that tomato paste, mixture we've spread all over the top and it's baked and sits up about 1/8 of an inch or so. And, it's just kick ass. It's delicious. Now people can eat their meatloaf with mustard, ketchup, or you could make, a gravy and pour gravy over the meatloaf and mashed potatoes or wild rice.
That's my preference. I like gravy.
Yeah, a lot. Who doesn't like gravy?
Gravy's the best. I'll tell you what. You want to know the best gravy I had? Catherine just turned 24, so we had her birthday dinner.
Yes.
And Susan makes a pot roast. Actually, it's my mom's recipe, Kathleen's recipe. And the pot roast gravy over mashed potatoes with some brown sugar in it is absolutely the best gravy in the world.
And when you make gravy with the drippings of whatever you're cooking, that's the best. Like a pot roast or a turkey or, you know, whatever. And it's just out of this world. But then leftover meatloaf sandwiches. Oh gosh. Cold meatloaf sandwiches. Man, you're in the front row the next day. So you can have chips or soup or salad with it. Knock yourself out, folks. But when you do a meatloaf sandwich, maybe cut it as thin as you can without it crumbling, and then use a couple of slices of meatloaf on the sandwich if they're thin. Otherwise, maybe a quarter of an inch, half an inch slab of meatloaf.
Nice. All right. We're done.
Okay, boss.
All right, the mashed potatoes, meatloaf, I'm a fan of, with the gravy. I'm more of a mashed potato guy because the gravy.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the pot roast, and again, what I've come to love about my mom's cooking is that none of it's that complicated. You know, you brown the roast in a Dutch oven.
That's right.
Right, and then you let it cook and simmer in its juices all day, and then you make some gravy. That stuff falls off the roast, just falls apart. You stack a bunch of that on your plate, some mashed potatoes.
Tender.
Oh my God! And then you dump that gravy with some brown sugar on it. Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine, look, a 24-year-old girl, what do you want for dinner? I want pot roast.
Yeah,
yeah, that gives you it gives you some sense of how good the pot roast is. All right, sir. First of all, we appreciate your candor, your wisdom, and your wit and your sense of humor. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and I will talk.
Thanks for having me, Mac.
No, I will talk to you later. Go Dodgers, baby.
Go Yankees, baby.
Go Dodgers. Whistle. Hey, whistle past that graveyard, man. Kershaw's done.
That's showbiz, baby.
That is showbiz. That is well said. Well said. That is showbiz. Kim, thanks for the visit.
Take care. Have a great day, everyone. A wonderful weekend.
All right. There you have it. The one and only Pete Kimball Holmes, the All-Marine Radio head chef. We're going to head back to the news. Japan just announced that North Korea has fired what appears to be a missile, which could land, hopefully, in the waters off of Japan. Can you imagine? North Korea is watching Scaramucci, right? The transsexual thing, the healthcare thing. And they're saying, holy shit, man, we're out of the news cycle. What do we do? I don't know. What do we... Launch a missile. What do you mean? What do we do? How stupid is that? Launch a missile. Yeah. We only got the one teed up pointed at Japan. Launch that. Hopefully it splashes in the water before it hits Japan. All right. Let's go, boys. We know what we got to do to get back into the news cycle. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.